It's about to begin a new sugya, and again, as we mentioned at the end of the show yesterday, the sugya doesn't appear in Sanhedrin proper, but it is really almost impossible in today's world to learn through Sanhedrin Daf Chavav and not to spend a little bit of time on this part of the topic, because everything we've been talking about the last 2 days, and then before Yontif, we're all revolving around the same basic nekuda, namely, what exactly is the status of Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, which of course the important corollary is, what exactly is the status of Shemitah, particularly in the land that belongs to a goy? So we saw all the different possibilities that go into the Shaila, the questions of whether Shemitah is deraisa derabban bizman hazeh, and why it's deraisa derabban bizman hazeh, the issues of Yeshkin Levkia, Enkin Levkia, and the differences between Avodas HaKarka and Kedushas Peiros. That's all the background. And now we want to get down Tachlis. Tachlis in the following sense, that everything we've been talking about would be relevant if there was land that was really owned by a goy. So Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael today, there's a lot of land that's not owned by goyim. Hashem Halavai should reach the day where it's Kula Tachas Yedeinu. But a significant part of Eretz Yisrael, obviously, is in our hands. And the question was raised already quite some time ago, it was back already 150 years almost, about is there a possibility of land that in theory is Jewish land, but can we go through some kind of a mechanism, not all that different conceptually, at least maybe very different halachically, but conceptually, not all that different in the concept of Mechiras Chametz, in the concept of Mechiras Behema, in terms of to be potter from Bechor. So can we pull off such an idea in terms of the Shnas HaShemitah, thereby alleviating any Isurim, both in terms of Avodas HaKarka, and then also in terms of Kedushas Peiros Shvi'as, all the ramifications of Kedushas Peiros Shvi'as we spoke about yesterday. So this question is, of course, any solution to this question is working with many, many, many assumptions, which any one of them may be incorrect, lahalacha, but so you have to put together a couple of pieces of information in order to come up with this, even a theoretical structure for this discussion. So you, of course, have to buy into the idea, to some degree, what we mentioned in the last day or two, that Yesh Kiyah, at least to some degree. Now, maybe because you really believe Yesh Kiyah Lev Kiyah, highly unlikely, or maybe at least you believe Bizman HaZeh Yesh Kiyah Lev Kiyah, a little bit more possible. But of course, that touches on everything we spoke about before. The Shemitah Derais, the Shemitah Derabanan, what's the reason it's Derais, what's the reason it's Derabanan? So you have to, a few things have to add up in order to even entertain this possibility. And even a Niyach, that this possibility is going to work in terms of being Mater Avodas HaKarka, it's not necessarily follows that this is going to solve the world's problems in terms of Peirush Shvi'as, in terms of conditions Peirush Shvi'as. Because basically, we said yesterday there was a raging machlokes, the b'seis for the mabit. But even if you have a real land that's honestly, truly owned by goyim for centuries, according to the mabit and the way the chaznish paskin, it's still going to have kedushas peirush shvi'as. So many of the things that you're going to try to that you're trying to avoid complications, such as doing business with peirush shvi'as, which is a big issue. Limitations of Shas Abir, limitations of discarding Peirush Shvi'as, many of the stumbling blocks that you're trying to avoid by just selling off the land to a guy may not work, because even if somehow the Mechira is good, and even if somehow you're able to be to claim that maybe certain dinim don't apply, it's not so poshut that that's going to solve anything in terms of Kedush Peirush Shvi'as. So again, there are a lot of ifs, a lot of question marks on this in this equation. On the other hand, a big Shasar Chak, at least at one time in history, there was a tremendous, tremendous Shasar Chak. I'm not going to comment on the similar or different types of Shasar Chak Bizman HaZeh, at least when the Shaila was first asked from the early settlements in Eretz Yisrael, it was a tremendous, tremendous Shasar Chak. And the question was posed to many, many great Rabbanim, both in Eretz Yisrael and the majority of the great Rabbanim who lived in Europe at the time, to weigh in on this very, very important issue. Is there such a possibility or not? Well, sometimes people have a very immature attitude towards this sugya. Sometimes people take the attitude, oh, come on, Rabbi, we do Mechiras Chametz, so what's the difference? Not all Mechiras are created equal. There are different issues. So with the issues that, it's like as immature saying, well, Rabbi, come on, we do Prisbul, so therefore we can have, a women, Yom, or something like that. A lot of people will make these kinds of very, very immature comparisons. So you have to be very, very careful that there are different issues. Each issue is a halachic issue that has to be decided on its own merits, on its own weights. So putting aside everything we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks worth, or at least 2 weeks worth of shiurim, there's a whole other issue that crops up in front of us whenever we deal with this issue of potentially selling off Eretz Yisrael to circumvent Shemitah even if somehow we'll put together the piece of the puzzle that maybe this works, we'll combine Rabbi Baruch with the Beis Shai, we'll put together a couple of pieces. I get no pun intended, I could say this way. I could say the Brooklyn Bridge also if I wanted to. I get the idea that it could work, or at least put some opinions. Just because it works doesn't mean that it's permissible to do. So here, when it comes to the, what we call the Hetter Mechira vis-a-vis Shemit in Eretz Israel, we are faced with a dilemma that doesn't exist by some of these other kinds of Mechiras that we do. An issue that doesn't pose a problem for Mechiras Chametz, it doesn't pose a problem for Mechiras Behema to a Goy, doesn't speak to Hilchos Prisbul. There's a whole other issue here, a very, very potentially serious issue, and that is the very lack of permissibility to sell Eretz Israel in the first place to a non-Jew, because this is what the Gemara calls Masechta Avodah, a violation of Lo Sechonim. Lo Sechonim is a pasuk in Chumash and Parashat, the end of Parashat Veschanon, and it has multiple meanings to it. One of the multiple meanings is Lo Titen Lehem Chanoi Bekarka. This is a Mishnah, a Gemara, Braisa, Gemara, the whole sugyan of Avodah, the end of the Perek, about this. It's the Deraisa of Lo Sechonim. For even if somehow we're going to say that if the land would be sold, that would minimize some of the Shemitah issues, who says that we're permitted to do this in the first place? Lest one think that we could just take lightly, well, what's the big deal? We'll just violate this and call it a day. Because the Nitziv was the one who was the first one, one of the famous ones to coin the observation that he said that a lot of ink has been spilled in order to try to solve a Shemitah Derabbanan problem. Because according to probably most of the Rishonim, as we learned earlier, Shemitah is probably Derabbanan for one of a variety of reasons. So in order to solve a problem Derabbanan, you violate an outright Issa Derais of Lo Sechonim. That's what the Nitziv was not a big fan of that Mechira on many different levels, but one of the big things that he felt was an insurmountable problem was the issue of selling land there to Eretz Yisrael. We see as the sugya developed, Chazon Ish was of that opinion as well. Chazon Ish also held that the issue of Het Mechira is almost a non-starter because there's no way to do it to Heter because there's an issue of Lo Sechonim staring us in the face. Chazon Ish says, lest the person thinks Lo Sechonim is not a real serious issue, so the Chazon Ish says he doesn't know why people think it's any less serious than eating Bas B'cholof and doing Melach HaYom Tov. He's not sure why people somehow take this, you know, lackadaisical approach, it's only Lo Sechonim, and therefore, you know, we'll figure out a way to finagle with it. He says it's in real bona fide Seder Aisa, and one has to take it with the utmost seriousness. So let's try to learn through the sugi a little bit of Lo Sechonim and see, are there potential Heterim, are there potential solutions to this otherwise major potential impediment to the entire Heter Mechira. So from here on in, we're not really going to be talking about Shemitah too much. We're really going to be focusing on Lo Sechonim. We'll touch a little bit on Shemitah here and there, but it's such an integral part of the sugya as it plays out in Eretz Yisrael in today's world. So to learn Sanhedrin Chavav and not to talk about Lo Sechonim is Iker Chas Ben Asef. So the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah quotes a tradition of three different interpretations of the phrase Lo Sechonim. Lo Sechonim is a very, very vague phrase. We're not even sure what the root of the word Lo Sechonim is. So the Gemara has three almost very different meanings, almost come from different, I'm not such an expert on the etymology of the different words, but they don't even seem to be related, so to speak, so much to one another. But one of them, of course, the one that most interests us is Lo Titlem Chanoi Bekarka. The Gemara quotes two other meanings. One other iser of Lo Sechonim is Lo Titlem Matnas Chinam. One is not permitted to give a Matnas Chinam to the person who was mentioned in this pasuk Lo Sechonim. I don't want to define who this person is yet, because we have a lot of work to do. But whoever the Isra of Lo Sechonim is Chal on, so that includes not only Chanoi B'Karka, not only to give them land in Eretz Yisrael, but it also refers to giving them Matnas Chinim in general. And then the third interpretation, the Gemara says, is Lo Sita Lehem Chein, not to do things that endears us to them, endears them to us, to make a big fuss about how beautiful they are, to make a big fuss about how talented they are, to make a big fuss about how great the Avodah Zarah are. So one is not supposed to be misapa b'shvachav, or the Rambam says misapa b'shvach ma'isav, whatever is included in this isur of Lo Sechonim in this third dimension. So there's three different isurim, and we'll see as we go on just how related these isurim are. Again, so we have the isur of chanoi b'karka, land in Eretz Yisrael, the isur of matnas chinam, giving a gift, and the isur of mitzias chein, misapa b'shvach. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, who exactly is the subject of these Yisurim? Who is the individual who we're not allowed to do these things to? So here we run into a basic question. Anyway, if you look in the Chumash, look in the Pshuta Shemikra, so the Pesukim are describing Klai Yisrael are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to bump into a lot of very unfriendly characters here. The Kenanis and the Chittis, the Amoris and the Perizzites, a lot of not such good people, in case you have any questions about the moral standards of some of these people, you can look at Pasha Zachrimos, you get a little bit of a sense. But the Torah describes, unfortunately in society, not all that different from certain things that are pervasive today. But the Torah says when you enter there, it's a straw, and you're going to bump into these guys, so this is not a good scene. And be very, very careful how you interact with them. And the Torah speaks about not marrying into them. The Torah speaks about others destroying the Avodah, etc. And then it says, V'losichanim. It says that you shouldn't violate losichanim to these people. So our initial reaction would be, okay, we can handle that, we can swallow that. We're not allowed to violate losichanim to the Knainis, the Chittis, the Amorim, Perizzis, Husi, Goshen, Chivim, the seven nations. But that is just about moot point, because we don't really know who's who anymore. Same, we have no idea who the Ammonis and Moabites, everything's in one big bilbo. So nobody has except Yichus saying that they're a direct descendant of the Amorim, Bismanazah. So we assume that all Goyim today are not really from the Zion Umos. So even if, let's say, you have a particular Goy who may follow certain practices of the Canaanim of old, maybe he worships idols like the Canaanim of old, maybe he does some of the Toevas of the Canaanim of old, but Tachlis, he's not a Canaanim, he's not a Moiri, then maybe one could argue that the Yisrael Sechanim doesn't apply. So if I was just reading Chumash, the Pasha's Vaschanan, I was listening to Meachas Bar Mitzvah Pasha, I was listening to Meachas Lame Pasha's Vaschanan, my Paskin Shail was based on reading Sechum and Chumash, so I would say that there's a nice discussion that should have happened 3,500 years ago, but it's not really a relevant discussion. This man has it. That's what I would have said. So Tosfos immediately points out in Maseches Avodah Zarah that is not the case. From just a simple reading of the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, you come to the realization immediately that is just not true. The Chazal clearly did not have that interpretation, clearly did not have that tradition. How did Tosfos know that? So there is no Gemara that talks about Chanoi B'Karka specifically about that, but the Gemara does talk about one of the other two Isurim. The Gemara talks about the Isur of Metzias Chayim, Misapa B'Shvacham, and the Gemara discusses the prohibition, the potential prohibition of Misapa B'Shvacham, even about regular Goyim. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Akiva, also Ha'maisel, whatever it is, at the end of the first Bechav of Avodah Zarah, about a potential violation of Misapa B'Shvacham, even on someone who is not from the Zion Umos. So Tosfos says, you know, it was a nice thought, and we thought we read Pshat in the Chumash right, but we're going to defer to the Torah Shebapeh. Just as Chazal clearly didn't interpret the pasuk that way, vis-a-vis Misapa B'Shvacham, there was no reason to believe that there's any difference between that part of Losachanim and the part of Losachanim called Matnas Chinam, for that matter, the part of Losachanim called Chanoi B'Karka. So if you just connect the dots, places shows you Raya Brura that Losachanim is not limited to the Zion Umos in one of them, so then it's most probably not limited to the Zion Umos by the other two as well. We have Rishonim even more explicit than this. If we take a look at the Rambam, usually tells you pretty much everything you have to know about anything. That was the Rambam's goal in writing a Sefer. Mishnah Torah said you can read this book and you know exactly what to do. So here the Rambam, when he discusses the Surim of Losichonim, the Rambam does not go out of his way to tell you that, by the way, none of this really applies. The Rambam knew how to say that. When the Rambam wanted to tell you that a certain din doesn't apply, when the Rambam wants to tell you that you can marry a ger Ammoni b'zman hazeh, he tells you it doesn't apply because there are no Ammonim anymore. If the Rambam felt that it was necessary to inform you that this issa doesn't really apply, he would have told you. And he doesn't. And just Hilchos Avodah Zarah just writes it clearly that there's the three Surim of Losichanim, they still exist and finish. Call it a day. But the Rambam also would appear that, even though, again, the Pshuta Shemikra doesn't sound that way, but Chazal had this interpretation clearly to the contrary. So we have a Tosfos that said it at least partially. We have a Rambam that's pretty much implying that. And there's a Ravid that also pretty much is pointing in the same direction. Here the Ravid does draw a distinction between concerning certain Isurim that in fact only apply to the Zion Umos. The Marshal, there's an Isur in the Torah called Lo Yesh Rubi Artcha Penyachtiros Chali. It's Poskim Pashas Mishpatim. You're not supposed to have these people, whoever these people are. They're not supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Yesh Rubi Artcha. So the Chazon Ish is quick to point out that this is not Losichanim. Lo Yesh Rubi Artcha is a different Isur than Losichanim. Lo Yesh Rubi Artcha doesn't mean that the Goy, whoever this Goy is, whoever is the subject of that Pasuk, that he owns any land. I didn't sell him any land. He's renting, he's living, he's visiting, he's staying in a hotel, he's staying in the plaza, whatever he's staying. The Yeshu B'Yartzecha, that's one Isser. Losichanim is a different Isser. Losichanim means to give him Chanoi B'Karka, even though he's not even living there. So let's say, for example, you can have somebody who lives in the five towns, and he owns land in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say he's a goy. I sell him an apartment in Rechavim, like everybody else. So he owns an apartment in Rechavim. He never stayed. He hasn't come to Rechavim in 20 years. So that's an outright Torah violation of Lo Sichanim. It's not a violation of Lo Yeshu B'Hartzecha. He's not in B'Hartzecha. Unless you tie in the five towns, it's part of Hartzecha. But if you assume, like we assume, that that's not part of Hartzecha, so then he's not... Hold on, this five towns, come on. Nobody, you guys are still sleeping. Nobody got the job. Okay, fine. Okay. You guys haven't come back yet from Pesach. Okay. So the Lo Yeshu B'Hartzecha is an iser of living in Eretz Israel. Come on, guys, we're allowed to still joke around here. Come on, we don't mean anything serious between friends and friends. The last days of Shia, come on. Okay, so the Yeshu V'Artzecha, says the Chazanish, that means for the guy to be living in Eretz Israel, he doesn't necessarily own land. Well, Sechana means, I'm not allowed to sell him land, even though he's not necessarily living there. The two different, they're related, but they're not the same iser. So the Raivin and Ochazav Ezara, on the words of the Rambam, that Yeshu V'Artzecha, so the Rabbi writes, he thinks that only applies to the Zaynumus. Says the context of those psukim is only the Zaynumus. But when the Rambam doesn't say it, but the Rabbi says that. So, but when the Rambam quotes the Dinim of Lo Sichanim, the Rabbi doesn't say a word. The Rabbi isn't masik in that Rambam. So the Pashas HaDvarim is that for whatever reason, again, how the Rabbi learned these psukim, how he figured all this out, I can't tell you. But the Rabbi clearly felt the need to be masik in the Rambam and to limit the Yisr of Lo Yeshu B'Yartzecha dafka to the Zaynumus. Whereas when it comes to Lo Sichanim, so he goes like Taisus, like the Rambam, that applies to all the Avdei Avodah Zarah in the world. So we have three Rishonim again. We don't have a Gemara, mamish black on white, with a smoking gun that's saying to us that Lo Sichanim, Lo Sichanim, Lo Sichanim, B'Karak applies to every Avodah Zarah in the world. But we have very, very good reason to believe that that is the case. We have pretty, pretty good rayas. We have a Taisus that makes us Ha'ara at least vis-a-vis part of Lo Sichanim. We have the Stima Sarambam that way, and we have the fact that the Ravid in one place is masking the Rambam, the other place doesn't make a point, that also points in the same direction. So we are fairly confident, fairly comfortable to say that the Isser of Lo Sichanim, in terms of Hanoya Bekarka, which is, of course, our issue, applies Lechol. What should be the next word? Yeah, we use the word Akam, right? But we knocked it down from Bob Dr. Zainumos. Probably l'chol oved v'rezar, all akum. Right? That's pretty much. Now, notice the word that I didn't use. What word did I not use? I didn't use the word goy. I didn't use the word non-Jew. Okay? I didn't use that word. I'm contrasting Zion Umos to l'chol oved v'rezar, so I'm more inclusive than this of Zion Umos, but I didn't quite go to the next step. Isn't anyone who's not Jewish automatically... goy, either Jewish or not Jewish, isn't every non-Jew the recipient of this violation of Lo Sichanim? I didn't say that yet. Maybe I will say that, but I didn't say that yet. So do we have any reason to believe that the buck stops here? Do we have any reason to believe that yes, Lo Sichanim is very inclusive, l'chol Ovid Avodah Zarah, but there's somebody out there who is not an Ovid Avodah Zarah? Now, in the non-Jewish world, the halachic definition of the non-Jewish world, all non-Jews are basically pretty much fall into one of two categories. They're the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and then who are the others? What we call the Geirei Teishev. Okay? So what does the Geir Teishev basically mean? So Kishmai Kenu, he's a Geir Toshav, that he's living with us, he's inhabiting, he's a member of our community, but he's not a Geir Tzedek, he's not Jewish. He's the one who the Torah speaks about in Parshas Re'eh. Lager, Hashem B'Sharecha, Titnan of Achala, give him all the tray for food to eat. He is not the one who the Torah presumably is speaking of when it says that you have to keep Shabbos for Gercha, Hashem B'Sharecha. That's Parshas HaDvarim is, that's referring to the Ger Tzedek. So the word Ger, even the term Ger, Hashem B'Sharecha, is a tricky term in Halacha, and you have to really, really understand Tosh B'Sharecha properly to understand when the Torah uses the phrase referring to a real bona fide ger, what we call today a ger. And what is it they're talking about? A fellow who's a ger toshav, namely, he's not worshipping idols. He's even told us he's never going to worship. He's promised us he's never going to. He signed an agreement never to worship idols. And he's really a pretty nice guy. He's keeping all the shev mitzvot b'nei Noach. He doesn't kill. He doesn't eat evais. He's trying to set up some kind of a judicial system to the best of his ability. He's not stealing. He's not violating arayas. He's a good guy. Pretty good guy out there. He's a ger toshav. So sometimes the Torah calls him the Ger Shem Sherecha, sometimes the Torah calls the Ger Tzedek Ger Shem Sherecha. So I want to know as follows. I want to know, this Isra of Chanoi B'Karka, so granted it's not limited only to the Zayin Umos, it applies to the whole Ovid of Adazah. And I want to know, does it spill over to a Ger Toshav? That's my real question for today. If the answer to that question is yes, then the Shia is going to be pretty much over today. If the answer to the question is no, then we're going to raise an interesting question. Well, maybe we could circumvent this issue of Chanoi B'Karka and solve the whole Shemitah dilemma, according to those who say that that would even solve the Shemitah dilemma, by avoiding Lo Sechanim, by simply choosing as the recipient of this Karka someone who is halachically a Ger Toshav. So we have two things to work on. We want to know, number one, is it true? Is it mutar to a Ger Toshav? Question number one. Number two, is Mihu Ger Toshav? Assuming that if the answer to the first question is no, then we don't have to bother figuring out who Ger Toshav is. But if the answer to the question is yes, then it would definitely behoove us to figure out, well, who exactly is this Ger Toshav who's standing in line to receive all of Eretz Yisrael, Erev Shnas HaShemitah. So those are the two questions we have to deal with first in terms of this. Do we have any reason to believe that it's Mutter to a Ger Toshav? What would make us believe this? You have no reason to believe it?
Related. I'm trying to understand what's happening. Is the issue to the Maisa selling the land to the Goy, or is it allowing him to own land in Israel? Meaning, like, let's say I just mafkir the field and let the Goy move in. Would that be
problematic? Nuchap. Mafkir all your land. Let the Goy be zoichen all the land. So if anyone thought of that, it's an interesting item. What? Yeah, that's going to be a problem. If I sell to him, so I'll put in into the deal, I'm charging, you know, pops, I'll be more than happy to sell you all of Eretz Yisrael for a mere $18 trillion payable motzoi shnas lechem to the chametz. We sell chametz to the guy, and then we sell chametz to the guy, we put a high price on it, and we say, hey, it's all totally yours, we'll come motzoi Pesach, let's make a cheshbon. So the guy comes motzoi Pesach, and he says, I can't come up with the money. So we say, you can't come up with the money, you better sell it back to me. I'm going to take you to court. So if I mafkir, let's say I would mafkir on my chametz, right? And the guy would take it. So then he would walk away with the chametz. So he'd walk away with the chametz. That would solve. We would have no, there'd be no Israel left. That would be the end of all the Yom HaTzibut Shiur. There'd be nothing to do. The guy would just walk away with the whole land. Can you imagine? That wouldn't be such a good idea. Okay. All right. What?
So this karma was in the PRS coming.
Yeah, to that extent. Okay. Good. So if I say, what would lead us to even believe that it's mutter for a Ger Toshav? Why do you think that a Ger Toshav someone is or is not included in this parasha? So here we have to go back to something that we mentioned before. Even though we're focusing on Chanoi B'Karka, we shouldn't forget Chanoi B'Karka in the context of the two other parts of Lo Sechanim. The Gemara almost lumps them all three together. There's an Isra of Chanoi B'Karka, there's an Isra of Matnas Chinam, there's an Isra of just as we saw from Tosfos that maybe we can extrapolate from one perhaps to another, maybe we can extrapolate from Matnas Chinam to Chanoi B'Karka in the following sense, that maybe when it comes to Matnas Chinam we have a riot to say that it's mutter to give a Ger Toshav a gift. If I can bring you a riot that says that it's mutter to give a Ger Toshav a gift, so then that would lead us to believe, well, a Ger Toshav is not part of this parasha. If a Ger Toshav is not part of the parasha of Matnas Chinam, then he's not part of the parasha vis-a-vis Chanoi B'Karka. So instead of me searching for a Gemara that talks about whether you can or cannot do Chanoi B'Karka to Ger Toshav, all I have to do is go down the Matnas Chinam route, and then we can presumably extrapolate one to another. So this is a little bit easier route to go down because the Gemara actually talks about it. The Gemara, famous Gemara Psachim, we spent a lot of time in this Gemara Psachim, the Gemara Psachim, the Gemara Mezara, quotes in Machlekes HaTanoim that had to be pshat in a Poskim Parshas Re'eh. It says, Lo, Sachlu, Chonavei, Laha, Ager, Asher B'Sharecha, Titinena V'Achala, O Machor L'Nachri, Ki Am Kadosh Ato, Hashem L'Kecha, Ozu B'Shel Gedi, B'Levi Mahom. Then we start Aset Aset. Okay, right? So the Torah says, don't eat nevelas, don't eat animals that weren't shechted properly, that died by themselves. What should you do with all the nevela meat? So the Torah gives you two options. to give it to the geirim. Obviously, it doesn't mean the ger tzedek. Not going to feed the real geirim, people who are really Jewish. Not going to feed them treifas. So it means give it to the ger tayshov. Or sell it to the nachrim. Who are the nachrim? Nachrim are also goyim. But apparently, the nachrim are those goyim who have not yet become ger tayshov. So they are basically who? Who are the nachrim? They're basically Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Everyone's an Ovdei Avodah Zarah until proven otherwise. So the Torah gives us two models that people betray from this. One is Ketinena, a Matana, the Ger Toshav, and the other is Mechira, Le'akum. Okay, these are two models that the Torah gives us. Either Matana, Ger Toshav, Mechira, Le'akum. The Gemara quotes in Machlekes HaTanoim, between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether these two categories are exact. Does the Torah mean only Matana, Ger Toshav? Only Mechira, Le'akum? What if I want to give it as a gift to the Akum? Is there anything wrong with that? So the Gemara quotes one Tana Rebbe Deva says, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly okay. You're allowed to give the, you can call up the guy, he's an Ovid of a Zarek, say to him, listen, when you finish bowing down to your idol in your temple, come by, I got some good meat for you, no problem. Set the Gemara says, Rebbe, you may or you're allowed to do that. The Torah didn't mean tafka one or the other. Either option is okay. So the Gemara says, really? Rebbe Meir holds that? What happened to Yisra Deraisa Matnas Chinam? So you know what the Gemara says? What the Gemara says? You want to read the Gemara? Rav Meir doesn't hold from that. Rav Meir says Losachana means other things. It means Chanei Bekacha. It means the Sabbath. It doesn't mean Manaschim. There's no Issa Manaschim. It doesn't exist. Rav Meir didn't have. Rav Meir's a Tana. He's entitled to Dashim Suchim the way he wants. So Rav Meir held there is no such Issa Manaschim. But the Gemara says Rav Yehuda disagreed with Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says no. When the Torah says Matana Lagir Taishav Mechila Ach, it means a Dafka. When a person dares and goes ahead and gives the Matana to the Ovid of Erezara, that's Asur. That's a violation of his Pasuk Chumash. You're not allowed to do that. And what's the simple reading of Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Why you're not allowed to do that? What's the simple Pshat of Rabbi Yehuda? Why can't you do that? Because that's a violation of Lo Sechanim. So it sounds like, if you just read the Gemara of Avodah Zarah Pshuto, it sounds what the Gemara is saying is that whether or not Matnas Chinam is even a potential Isser of Lo Sechanim in the first place, is subject to a Machlokes HaTanaim. Not all Tanaim except this part of Lo Sechanim. Rabbi Meir seems not to subscribe to it. Rabbi Yehuda seems to accept it completely. So they say, there's a little bit of a problem with the sugya. Who knows, what's the problem with the sugya? Forget about the Shemitah. I'll get out of yourself off a minute. What's the problem with the sugya? The Gemara says, the Machlekes HaTanaim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, is how to dash the Pesukim Pashas Re'e, which ultimately revolves around, is not Nesquinim Asra Mutter. What's the problem?
Giving it to
it's a technical problem in terms of just reading the Gemara itself. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the source that you can't give a matana to an Ovid of Avodah Zarah? What's the give me a machmanani meal you can't give a gift to an Ovid of Avodah Zarah? So then what?
So you're giving a gift to
so then what do I need? What? What do you need a deposit for? According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a pasuk, there's a diuk in the pasuk. Like Gera Shem Shachti Nevachal, or Machla Nachri, it's like an Isser. Machla Nachri, yeah. The Sidla Nachri, Asr. You're not allowed to, the Torah is saying, don't give it to the Nachri. I don't need a pasuk in Pashas Re. I already learned Bez Chalan. I already know it's an Isser Losechanim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have two Psukim teaching us the same thing. We have two Psukim telling us the exact same thing. You're not allowed to give gifts to Goyim. You're not allowed to give gifts to Avdei Avodah Zarah. Why do you need two Psukim to tell me the exact same thing? So that's Tosis Kasha. Tosis bothered with that dilemma. So what's Tosis' solution to that problem? You know what Tosis says? He says, you know what the answer to that clash is? You know what? I can't hear. Yep, Tosis says, you're over two Yisurim. Not the first time. Lava l'b'yasi v'lo sasi. Tosis says that the two Pesukim are not contradicting one another. It's not a superfluous pasuk. It's the Eifish Lema. It's another Yisur. There are two separate Yisurim. When a person goes in and gives a gift to an Ovid of a Nazara, he's in violation of two different Yisurim. Not just when you give the tray for meat. When you give anything, you give you buy a nice bottle of wine, you give it to your to an Ovid of a Nazara. So comes Tyson and says that will be a violation of two things. It'll be a violation, according to Rabbi, it'll be a violation of the Sechanim, the law of the Torah, and taboo. It's also an Isser Esseh. The Isser Esseh is Mechiru Le'akom Yeh, you're allowed to sell things to Avdei Avodah Zarah, you're not supposed to give them gifts. So Taisa says, they're both true. But if you look carefully at the Rambam, it doesn't sound that way. Who saw the Rambam very carefully? Everyone saw I put the Rambam in the Rambam Kermis? What does the Rambam sound? The Rambam says, you're not allowed to give a gift to an Ovid of an Azar. You know why? What pasuk does the Rambam quote? Which pasuk does the Rambam quote? If I were to ask the question which pasuk the Rambam doesn't quote, that would be the correct answer. Which pasuk does the Rambam quote? Who said the Rambam? No Rambam's here. Is it Rambam? Which Rambam are we? So many Rambams. Which one is it? Wrong paper. The Rambam of Azar? No. Okay, fine. So the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, I forgot already which halacha it is. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah writes that it's a terrible thing. You're not allowed to give the matana to the guy. We all know that, says the Rambam. As it says, Mechumish, Nagir, Shev, Shrech, Tidana, Ve'achola, Amachol, Nachri, Mechira, Yeh, Matana, no. And strangely enough, the Rambam makes no mention of what? Now, it's not that the Rambam never heard of Lo Sechanim, because 10 seconds earlier, the Rambam told you, by the way, you're not allowed to say how great, how talented the Ovid Avodah Zarah is. And you're not allowed to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael Chanan Bikaka. So the Rambam knew exactly where Lo Sechanim was, and somehow, conveniently, the Rambam left out that middle interpretation of Matnas Chidam in the Yisurim of Lo Sechanim. Why do you think the Rambam did that? What do you think prompted the Rambam to almost take a Gemara? The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, Lo Sechanim means 1, 2, and 3. And the Rambam says it only means 1 and 3. Just kidding, it doesn't really mean 2. What do you think prompted the Rambam to almost disagree with the Gemara? Who do you think the Rambam thought disagreed with the Gemara? What? Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with previous Braisa. The Rambam was learning Rabbi Yehuda. The Halakha Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, I need a special pasuk to tell me that you can't give him a ton to a goy. He learned that from Sukkot and Parshas Re'eh about Nevela. And what do I need that for? What happened to Lo Sechanim? So whereas Taisa said, what happened to Lo Sechanim? As Asher already answered, Lava Lo Biyasi V'lo Sesei. Taisa said it wasn't a kash in the first place because you're a violation of 2 things. The Rambam thought that the question was better than the answer. The Rambam clearly learned that even Rabbi Yehuda holds there is no violation of Lo Sechanim and Matnas Chinam. I didn't say it's butter. It's also for other reasons. It's a violation of the L'Akam B'Mechira. It's in a Seresei L'Akam B'Mechira. But it's not Lo Sechanim. Don't call it what it's not. It's not Lo Sechanim. So it comes out that we have, according to the Rambam, there are almost 3 different shittas in Tanoim here on the page. You have some Tanoim who say that Matnas Chinam is Taka Mutter. Who is that? Which Tana says Matnas Chinam is Mutter? Rabbi Meir. He says it's not Lo Sechanim. Lo Sechanim has 2 other meanings, not Matnas Chinam. This drasha, Rabbi Meir never heard of. He says it's a lot of Dafka. So Rabbi Meir is the biggest make. He says you want to give a gift to the goy, give something. Hep the gomer. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no. You're not allowed to give a gift to a goy, but now it's Lo Sechanim. It's also because of some low-level isser, this arresting of a Tana Lagoy, whatever you want to call it. There's only one Tana who holds that Lo Sechanim really truly means Matnas Chinam. Who is that Tana? That nameless Braisa in Maseches Avodah Zarah. When the Gemara quotes Torah, the Tana Yochi, Yeshamim, one phantom opinion in Tanaim, not Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to Matnas Chinam as being part of the low sesei of Lo Sechanim. So it comes out that there's a major machlokes now. The halacha, we don't follow Rabbi Meir. Nobody follows Rabbi Meir. We follow Rabbi Yehuda. The Meir Rabbi Yehuda is always the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. So we hold that there's no way in the world you can give matana to an Ovid of a Zarah. But we're not sure what the nature of the yisr is. We're not sure is the yisr alts Lo Sechanim. That's what Tosfos said. Tosfos says also alts 2 reasons: Lo Sechanim and the yisr essay. Or is it like the Rambam that it's watered down? It's not a lav, it's only an Isser Esei. So is there a violation of Lo Sechanim only by giving a matana to a goy? Unclear. I didn't say it's mutter. Being the Tais, being the Rambam, it's an Isser Deraisa. We're not making light of Yisurim Deraisa. But according to the Rambam, it's an Isser Esei. It's like, Bu'ula Kohen Gadol. It's like, those kind of Yisurim. We spent a lot of time in Ksubas with that. It's an Isser Esei. It's also a serious thing. But it's not like, wearing shatnez. It's not like eating treif. It's not a low sesei. It's an Isser Esei. According to Taisus, it's worse. It's worse than wearing shatnez. It's a low sesei and an Isser Esei. At the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference. Everyone holds its off system. My nefkamina asks, low sesei, we're observant Torah Jews. We're going to observe all the mitzvah Torah. Does it really make much of a difference to us? Rabbi Say, what kind of a non-Jew is clearly included in this prohibition of Matnas Chinam? Name me a non-Jew, a type of a non-Jew, who is beyond question not included in the Issur to be the recipient of a Matnas Chinam. Agiyat Toshav. How do I know that? That's exactly what it says in the Chumash, right? Lager asher b'sharecha t'dana v'achola. The Torah screams at us and says, this Issur of Matnas Chinam doesn't apply to a Agiyat Toshav. That is not negotiable. But I say, who sees where we're coming now, based on the Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam? What can we or can we not extrapolate from this? Do we have a right to say, well, just as Matnas Chinam doesn't apply to a Ger Toisha, so too, Chanoi Bekarka, so too, Asapa Bishvacho, all the other Yisurim don't apply to a Ger Toisha either. So, Lichora, that will depend on the Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. If you hold, like Tosfos, that every Matnas Chinam is an addition to the Isser of Mechila Achram, is also a secondary violation of a law of Los Echonim, and still the Torah permits it to a Ger Toshav. So in Parshas Re'eh, by being Matir the Nevela to a Ger Toshav, the Torah is qualifying the Pasuk in Parshas V'Shanan. The Torah is putting the brakes on Parshas V'Shanan and saying, don't mistakenly think that Los Echonim applies to all non-Jews. It's not true. Los Echonim only applies to Zayin Umos, it applies to other of the Avodah Zarah, to Nochir, but it doesn't apply, the buck stops here, it doesn't apply to Ger Toshav, just as it doesn't apply to Ger Toshav vis-a-vis giving Nevela, which should have been a violation of Los Echonim, but it's not, then all other parts of Los Echonim are not going to apply to Ger Toshav. According to Tosfos, with the Pasuk, the way Talia Tosfos read the Pasuk, when Tosfos read Parshas Re'eh, they came to a realization, hey, yes, the kasha. If I'm Taimar and the Chumash, how could I give the Nevela to a guy? Isn't that Los Echonim? What's the answer? V'yesh Loimar? V'yesh Loimar is a Ger Toshav. Oh, and what do you see from here? That Los Echonim doesn't apply to Ger Toshav. Once you see that Los Echonim doesn't apply to Ger Toshav, what other parts of Los Echonim don't apply to Ger Toshav? Chanei B'kai, Chanei B'kai, Chanei B'kai, as well. So Tais had a whole pilpul on the Pasuk. They read Parshas Re'eh, then they realized what Pshat is in Parshas V'Eschanim. When the Rambam was sitting and listening to Laney in Egypt, right, they were reading a little different Havara, right, they were all sitting on the floor, sitting around Egypt, and they're reading the Sefer Torah, and they get to and they says, you got to the Pasuk that says, you're allowed to give the Nevela to a Ger Toshav. What great conclusion can we draw from this? That the Yisra Matnas Chinam is Mutter to a Ger Toshav. What conclusion can we draw from this? Absolutely nothing. We can draw the whoop-de-doo conclusion that a matnas chinam is mutter to a ger toshav. That's all there is right no more. What about l'sapa b'shvacha to a ger toshav? Where does it say that's mutter? V'shteita, that's mutter. How do you know about chanoi b'kachat a ger toshav? We have no idea. According to the Rambam, the isra matnas chinam is nothing to do with los echonim. The isra matnas chinam is an isra b'frei hatzbo of learned after tzukun re'eh, which the Torah happens to be mounted to Ger Toshav. That's wonderful. That has absolutely zero relevance to the Yisra of Los Echonim. So the Yisra of Los Echonim applies to, well, we jumped from Zayin Umos to Ovid Avodah Zarah. Maybe a Ger Toshav also. I have no idea. According to Rambam, I have much no idea. So, Lefian is Daiti. This question, this fundamental question, which is, again, the most basic fundamental question even before we can discuss who the Ger Toshav is, is there even a heter of selling out sold to Ger Toshav? The theory is that it boils down to Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. It all boils down to one question. How do you solve the seemingly redundancy of Yisurim? Why does the Gemara need Los Echonim from Matnas Chinam and Sukkot Pashas Re'eh from Matnas Chinam? According to Tosfos, they're both true. According to the Rambam, it's Taka Machlokes. Only one is true. We paskin, there's an essay not allowed. If you hold like Tosfos, so then we have a raya brua Los Echonim doesn't apply to Ger Toshav. If you hold like the Rambam, then there's no raya. There's no raya. We have no reason to believe that it's mutter. So this was actually Machlokes, the Gedolei Acharonim. So the Mechas Chinuch doesn't spell this whole thing out. Mechas Chinuch writes Me'atzmai that he doesn't think that then he has to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to Ger Toshav. Mechas Chinuch was sitting in Galicia before anyone was talking about Heder Mechiris. Actually, it was around the same time. It was a long time before. But he didn't think that there's any hetter whatsoever. You can get the greatest Ger Toshav under the sun. It's still not going to be mutter. And the Chazanish wrote, no, the Chazanish thought, no, it's very good argument that if you really could find a Ger Toshav, which by the time the sugya ends, you're not going to find one, says the Chazanish, but if you could find a Ger Toshav, so then you're going to be home free. Then you could pretend, again, not that it's going to solve any problems, says the Chazanish, because we all know even the land and the Paris of the Goy is still going to be Shemitah. But if you're interested in not violating Los Echonim, just in case you're interested in selling your land in Tel Aviv, stam for your office building in Tel Aviv to a Ger Toshav, so Chazanish thought the Mikra didn't really be okay. And the Cheshvan seems to be based on this type. So Lefian is Dainty, this Machlokes Chazanish and the Mechas Chinuch is really a restating of the same Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam, just how to solve this dilemma in terms of the necessity for both. So, let's go to Kula here for a little bit. Okay, why not? It's not going to mean anything anyway, but let's go to cool air for a little bit. That, okay, we'll find the gear. Toshav, everyone home free. Right? Sounds pretty simple. It's easier said than done. Miu gear Toshav. Who's Toshav? Gear Toshav. A non-Jew comes and says, listen, I don't like this whole idolatry business anymore, eating live limbs off of animals, you know, it just doesn't speak to me anymore. You know, I'm not interested in killing anybody, I don't want to rob, I want to, you know, observe, proper morality and civility. Yeah. Great, here we go. He's our guy. We have a get attention. This comes to Gemara Erichin and throws a monkey wrench. This comes to Gemara Erichin and says, no, it's not going to work so fast. You know why it's not going to work? Because there's a condition necessary for Kabbalah's gear. The gear doesn't just mean he comes forward. He has to come to Beis Din, present himself, have to makabel him. There's a limitation on Kabbalah's gear toshav b'zman hazeh. You know what the limitation is? Listen to this one. This is a pretty serious limitation. A makabel gear toshav elowa elo b'zman. Oh my goodness, shahawa shahayovel noyheg. You can only be makabel gear toshav b'zman shahayovel noyheg. Now the last thing the supporters of Het Mechir want to do is bring Yovel back. Because if you bring Yovel back, then you just brush Shemitah back, and you're Shemitah deraisa, and then you kiss the Het Mechira goodbye. So we want to keep Yovel as far, I mean, not literally, but, you know, figuratively, we want to keep Yovel out of the picture over here. But the problem is this absence of Yovel is now going to, we thought it was the greatest solution in the world to Shemitah derabanan. This now creates the greatest obstacle to the Het Mechira. Wait a second. If the Gemara Erichin says that you can't be makabel gear toshav, the Gemara is up from Tzuk, you can't be makabel gear toshav, because man she'ein a Yovel noyeg, we do not have Yovel b'zman hazeh. For that matter, we haven't had Yovel in according to the Sibur in the Gemara for 2,700 years or so. According to some Rishonim, maybe it came back a little bit in Bahasheni, the Raisa, the Rabban, a little bit, but practically speaking, it's not too much Yovel going on these days.
Just wondering, I remember earlier in the year we were talking about regular Geiris, and there was some Josh made or Mbah made or someone else made, or Sefem, that even when we don't have the
show must go on, right? That's by Geir Tzedek. We know there's no such rush by Geir Toshav.
Apply by any chance to Geir Toshav or just the regular Geir?
Oh, that would not apply. Gemara says explicitly it doesn't apply. Yeah. It's a nice try, but Geir Lexer Shava just doesn't work here. Okay, so Chor, this is a serious obstacle. This is going to do us in. I mean, it was nice that we spent 20 minutes. See, if I would have told you this first, then nobody would have been listening for the last 20 minutes. I built up all the drama and all the excitement, and now I'm telling you, well, it's very nice. Maybe the Chazdish is right. Maybe Tez is right. You can sell land to a Getoshim. We can't even find a Getoshim because we don't have Yovel. So the truth is that according to the Rambam, that's exactly where the show ends, and we can just finish up for today. According to the Rambam, you're right. There's no Getoshim. It doesn't exist. The Rambam just quotes the Gemara right out of Erechim. Comes the Raivin and starts making limitations on the limitation of the Gemara. Comes the Raivin and says, you know, Ein Getoshim Noyeg El Bezman Shayovel Noyeg. Is that an absolute statement or not? So comes the Ravid and says, you know, there are different halachas that emanate from being a Geir Toshav. There are a whole series of different dinim that apply to Geir Toshav, don't apply to an Ovid of an Azara. We'll just throw out a few, you know, just possibilities. One of them, of course, being, well, the Yisr of Losachonim clearly doesn't apply, at least part of it, or the Yisr of Aschinim for sure, doesn't apply to a Geir Toshav. That's one difference on the level of their Aisa. But there are other differences as well. You want to give me another example? What are some other dinim that Geir Toshav have that don't govern regular Ovdei Avodah Zarah? We have a chiyuv to do what? To support them. Namely, the mitzvah to support Geir Toshav. The Pesukim say explicitly, Geir B'Soshav HaChayimach. The Pesuk says we have to be nice to the Geir Toshav. We have to support them. If we see that they're having economic problems, we have to give them money. We have to take care of them. It's mitzvah v'chei achicha. Not literally v'chei achicha imach. He's not literally achicha, but v'chei imach. Geir v'soshav v'chei imach. Another thing. I don't remember we spoke about this. Wait, when we talk about this? Is there a mitzvah tzedakah for a Geir Toshav? It's been so long now. It's got to be more recent than that. No? Because on Shabbos, we probably didn't talk about it. Super thing? Probably not. Psachim, we spoke about it. For sure, Psachim, we spoke about it. So there's a question in the Acharonim, is in the Rishonim already, this mitzvah v'chayimach, is this the equivalent of tzedakah? or is this a different mitzvah? It's my nafkamina. So some want to argue that v'chayimach means that we have to make sure that the Geir Tosh don't die in a mitzvah. Because if the Geir Tosh was dying of hunger, so we have to help him out. We have to make sure he doesn't die in us. If the Geir Tosh of his Nebuch, it's the middle of the winter and he's homeless and he's sitting out in the park bench and he's going to freeze to death. So we have to quickly bring him into our homes. We have to take care of him, give him a homeless shelter, give him something, buy him a coat, make sure he doesn't die in us. That's the mitzvah v'chayimach. Tzedakah is much more than that. Tzedakah doesn't just mean that you have to make sure a person doesn't die. Tzedakah means you have to give the person all of the legitimate needs that a normal person would need. Let's say he's not going to die. He needs a new suit for Yontif. And if he wears last year's suit for Yontif with a hole in it, he's not going to die. On the other hand, a normal person likes to buy a new suit for Yontif. So the mitzvah of tzedakah is to try to buy him a new suit for Yontif. Let's say the Gemara says, let's say you have a person who is living a fairly, somewhat of a more lavish lifestyle, and never tables turned on him, and now he's down to dumps. He doesn't have money to support himself. That kind of a lifestyle. So the Gemara says that doesn't mean we have to send him on every cruise all the time, but to give him things to make him feel normal again. We may have to provide him with a little bit more tzedakah to provide somebody else, because psychologically he has certain needs that maybe somebody else doesn't have. That's a tricky thing. You have to know how to do that appropriately. So those doesn't that chayimach? He's not going to die. Again, a lot of people come to us for tzedakah. Sometimes it's life and death, but very often it's not life and death. That's going to happen if he doesn't get the new suit for Yontif. One could argue that maybe the mitzvah tzedakah doesn't apply to a Geir Tosha. Pesach tifkos yad chaloy, that pasuk is v'achicha evyo, and that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah tzedakah applies to Klal Yisrael. The mitzvah v'chayimach applies to Geir Tosha. Others say no. Others say that the Torah is marba, that the Geir Tosha is like the Jew vis-a-vis our communal support system, then maybe we have to give him tzedakah also. Everyone agrees you have to give tzedakah even to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but they're not the Shalom. That's the mission, that's the Sugya Gittin. But I'm talking about it, not Mitam Dak, I'm talking about Mitam, the mitzvah of the Araisa of tzedakah. So that's not clear whether that applies to the Geir Tosha. But V'chayimach clearly does. That's possible. Yeah.
These are, sound like they're really different in their nature. Like, Reiner tzedakah, each person in the Yachid has a mitzvah to give maaser. Here it sounds almost like a communal responsibility, like a Kovas of Sibor.
I would probably argue with some of the premises of your question, but well, you are correct that there is a chavos hayochid to give tzedakah. I don't know whether I put ma'aser necessarily into that chavos hayochid, but there is a chavos hayochid to give tzedakah. There is a chavos hatzibur to provide for tzedakah as well. That's what the Rav was medayik from the Rambam who was matnasaniyim, that there's a chova on the kup on the tamchoy. That's what the Rambam writes, that lo shemana, there should be a Jewish community without a kupa shel tzedakah. But the Rambam's writing a sociology book. I'll tell you what the Jewish history is. Why is the Rambam write that in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim? So the Rav said, because the Rambam's telling you, you're not allowed to have a Jewish community without a kupa shel tzedakah. You have to have a discretionary fund. You have to have a tzedakah fund in the community. So again, how that plays out for the Geir Tosha, I'm not sure. But getting back to that story, yeah.
Are you not allowed to lend him with ribbons because of that pasuk?
A Geir Tosha? Referring back to the next pasuk is Tikach Beito Neshach V'Sarbis. That pasuk is not by Jews. That pasuk is not by Geir Tosha. So get back to the story. So there are a lot of dinim that emanate from being a Geir Tosha. So one is that there's no Sumat Nesinim to you. Another is that you're entitled to be the recipient of the Chayimach. There's an interesting Rashi in Masechet Yevamos, very difficult Rashi. Rashi writes that a Geir Tosha is mechuv in Shmir Shabbos. Mechuv to keep Shabbos. Why? Because Chalas Shabbos Avin Avodah Zarah. Once he's makabel upon himself, not Avin Avodah Zarah, licked in that as a kabbal to keep Shabbos. Says immediately. Taisa says, the Gemara says on the pasuk v'yinofesh ben amoschav hager. So the hager there is referring to a Geir Tosha. Taisa says that means Amir Liakom to an Akom is only dirabanan, but Amir Liakom Tosha is a deraisa. The Taisa says, so that's another difference in a Geir Tosha and a regular Ovid of Avodah Zarah. So there are multiple dinim that emanate from being a Geir Tosha. So the Raita has an interesting idea, both in Nuchas Avodah Zarah and Nuchas Yisrael Biya, that maybe when the Gemara says that Eimakam and Geir Tosha is manazech, there's no Yevel, maybe the Gemara didn't mean vis-a-vis all dinim of Geir Tosha. Maybe it only means some dinim, some dimension, some aspects of Geir Tosha don't apply to manazech. The Rambam says, I never heard of such a thing. No, the Gemara didn't say any of this. The Gemara just says one fell swoop, Eimakam Geir Tosha b'zman hazeh, because there's no Yevil. And the Ravid says, not so fast, not so simple. So then the Ravid says, So now that I just told you that some dinim do apply, you can have a ger toyshe b'zman hazeh for some dinim, not for others. Which one's here and which one's not? So comes the ravid. It's a very, very difficult ravid. It's almost become atzma. It's almost like tamei mitzvahs a little bit, which we usually don't do in terms of the though the shit in time of the krah. I mean, tamei mitzvahs is a nice area of limud haTorah, but in the end of the day, in halacha, we don't usually base halachas on what we suggest being the reason for the mitzvahs are. So it's a very difficult ravid. But the ravid looks like Surah Diyah, and I put it on the memo canvas, right? Anyone's got the rabbi? No, the rabbi there? So say about that. Say about that is what the gear says anyway, so it doesn't matter. So comes the rabbi and says, it's nearly loyma. I don't even drush as off the rabbi. Here we're almost crossing lines between Shabbos afternoon, halacha shir, and Shabbos morning sermons. Off the rabbi. I'm going to tell you why. Did you ever stop and ask yourself, why aim a kabbalah gear touch and always manage your own? Why is that? Just think about it. Why should he cut it? What does Yovel have to do with Geritosh? You want to tell me there's no Shemitah of his man, there's no Yovel, I understand. You want to tell me there's no Bakti Arichayma, I understand. You want to tell me there's no Din of Steachuz, I understand. Those are all Yovel related. It's like saying, well, I'm sorry, there's no Yovel today, so therefore we don't eat matzah this year. But why are we not doing anything? There's no Yovel, so we don't have chakras today. What is that? What is Geritosh? Did Imamunas again tell you? What is not doing anything? So Zach David, it's Nimel Aloymar, he says, Tam Svar. He thinks that the Gemara was only referring to the dimension, or partially referring to the dimension of Ger Toshav, of the mitzvah l'chiyosai. There's a chi of Gomer Derais, the support to make sure the Ger Toshav and our mitzvah don't die. Zach derived that only makes sense is Man Shei Yovel Noyeg. Why? My high. So says the Ravid, it's nothing to do with Yovel. That's not what really matters. Bizman Shei Yovel Noeg is a code phrase because we all know Mishnei Shemitah Sakasa Medaber from last sugyas. When Yovel applies, what else applies? Shemitah applies. And Yovel doesn't apply, so in the world of Deraisa, and Shemitah probably doesn't apply. So when the Gemara says that you only have a Ger Toshav Bizman HaYovel, what the Gemara really meant is you only have a Ger Toshav Bizman HaShemitah. Okay, so that makes about as much, you know, we don't understand that about as much as we didn't understand before. So my in Shemitah, no pun intended on this one, my in Shemitah Eitzel Ger Toshav, that's a good one, okay? Eitzel Harsina, okay, my in Shemitah Eitzel Ger Toshav. So Zuck derived, you know, it's a strange thing the Torah is telling us. Very, very strange thing. I have to be very careful how we formulate this. Nobody should misquote me, especially in the hot political climate these days. It's a very strange mitzvah the Torah is telling us to support all the Ger Toshav. You know, Beinenu, we have a lot of our own we're having trouble supporting. You know, the yeshivas around don't have any money. You know, the mikvahs can't support themselves. The shuls are in debt. No one, they are near. We have a lot of our own financial crises. You name it, there's a financial crisis around the corner. Says the Ravid, we can barely support our own. All of a sudden, we have hundreds and thousands of Ger Toshav are going to come marching into Eretz Yisrael. You know, you can start to see, you know, some immigration issues coming up over here. You know, I don't know, I don't want to say anything, you know, especially these days, you know, certain candidates, you know, have certain things maybe to say about these things. So, the Ravid's almost formulating this kash. He's saying, it's almost a modern mitzvah the Torah is giving us. The Chai Imach, every guy who comes from the Arab Conference of Oretz, that comes there to Israel, is going to take advantage of us. We can't support our own. So, Zach the Ravid, what do you mean we can't support our own? We can support our own. You know why? Because we have an unbelievable welfare system that can support our own. You know what that's called? It's called Shemitah. We have Shemitah. The Yisram Torah, everyone. V'achlu v'yonei amecha. Everyone's eating. Everything's hefker. All the idea. Everyone's happy during the Shnas Shemitah. Everyone's got plenty of food to go around. The farmers are not working. The rich people are not rich anymore. Nobody. The farmers are sitting and living in Kailel. The Americans are supporting. Everyone's got Valdik, Meredik. The Americans are going on Shemitah missions. Everyone's happy. Baruch Hashem. That's Bizman Shehayoyev Noyeg. That's Bizman Shehashemitah Neheges. But Nebuch, you live in a time when Ein Hayoyev Noyeg, which means there's no Shemitah. So again, Midraban and Shul keeping Shemitah, but come on, that's not the real thing. In the level, in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu, the world of Deraisa, there's no Shemitah. When there's no Shemitah, so the whole social system breaks down. We can't support anybody. So we have Aniyim Galore, Zach the Ravid. We have our own Aniyim, so what are we taking in the Ger Toshav for? That's what the Ravid says. Interesting, right? So therefore the Rabbi says, not a gzeres hakosov, there's no reason whatsoever. There's man she'ena yovel noeg, there's no ger toshav. He says, the Gabi, this prad of ger toshav, of being v'chuya to support him, it's inconceivable the Torah would have given us this requirement, there's man she'ena yovel noeg. Zoshtetin Rabbi. Who's got a problem with this Rabbi? Yeah, it's one out of seven. What about the other 6 years? And who's supporting the rest of Klai Yisrael in the other 6 years? No one's knocking on the door in year four? It's a very difficult Rabbi. So the Chazon Ish thought that it was such a difficult Rabbi, he doesn't believe the Rabbi ever said it. He said, he thinks, if you look at the Rabbi inside, anyone got a chance to look at it? Oh yeah. This is the Lashon Rabbi, look at the Surah Bia. Where is it? What Allah is it? It's somewhere here. Where is it? Look at the Surah Bia. Yeah, it's here. It's in Yudalit Ches. Ain't on a mitzvah machioso. The color of hadavar alios min hatam. The Rabbi, you can see, he's not sure. He said he thinks is the reason. Keep his man hayoyvel hayushemtin. Vayyachlis pani shaloi b'tayich tzibur. He'll find his own parnasa. The achshav ena yachol. That's what the Rabbi says. So the Chaznish says he can't believe it. That only solves one out of seven problems. Says the Chaznish, it would appear to him that there's a tosai from the Rabbi. It's not supposed to be bizman hayyavel hayushomtin, Lashon Shemitah, but it's supposed to be bizman hayyavel hayushomtin. It's supposed to be a lamed. It's very little in the Rabbi. Someone could have mixed it up. It's supposed to be hayushomtin, suggests the Chazon Ish. What does shomtin mean? A lashon of what? Shlita. It means a control. Says the Chazon Ish, bizman shayyavel noeg. Why is yavel noeg and why is yavel not noeg? What determines whether yavel is noeg? When Kol Yisrael Lo, when Christ is on top, when Malchus Beis David, Shlomo HaMelech, running Malchus from here to Africa, he's got the Queen of Sheba coming to everyone, the Jews are on top of the world. When you have an empire running, it's not a din of Yovel, it's the Chazon Ish. Yovel is just is the proof. Yovel is just the way to make the barometer to see a Klai Yisrael doing well financially or not. If there's Yovel, Hazeman Fadot, that we must be Shulten, we must be in charge of all of Eretz Yisrael. If we're running all of it, we have Kodesh Ve'Lev, we're running from top to bottom, from Dalad Be'Sheva, then we have enough room to bring in the Umas Olam can come and we'll provide for them also. But if Ein HaYovel Noeg, Ein HaYovel Noeg is a code phrase for saying that things are a disaster. We can't get our own act together. We can't put our own house in order. We can't even, we don't have our own Shvatim where our whole system's messed up. So if our system's messed up, what are we inviting other people for to join in a dysfunctional system? We have enough of our own dysfunctional economic system, the Chazon Ish. That's what the Ravid was driving at. So he didn't mean Shemitah. The Gersa said Shomtin because you saw Yovel, so Yovel, Shemitah, must be something to do with Yovel and Shemitah. The Chazon Ish says that doesn't solve the problem. Yovel never really meant Yovel. Yovel just meant a way of a way of proving to us whether we are Shomtin or we're not Shomtin. Habricha Yivchar, either what it says in our text of the Rabbi in terms of Shomtin, or whether it says Chaznish's innovative gears of Shomtin. At the end of the day, what's important about this Rabbi is that the Rabbi is putting the brakes on the din of Yovel Noyeg. Namely, you only need Yovel Noyeg Lagabi the Chiyav Lachayosai. But what's the Rabbi saying? Lahalacha? What about all other dimensions, or many other dimensions of Gir Toshav? You can have it from Mizman Hazeh. So comes the Chazon Ish and says, if he asked the Rambam, can you have a get toshav bizman hazeh? The answer is, it's out of the question. It's a chayk l'yak zeh sakasav, but I don't want to hear any drushes, any sermons, Shabbos mornings. According to the Rambam, aim a common get toshav bizman hazeh, end of discussion. But according to the Ravid, who entertained the possibility of Kabbalah's get toshav, at least for certain halachas bizman hazeh, we're back in business. So our interest is still going. So again, notice how many things we have to build on. We're trying really hard to get around this Losachon. We are really, really trying hard. So we had to make two assumptions. We had to assume that it's Mutter for Ger Toshav, which, by the way, which great Rishon didn't say that, most probably. The Rambam probably didn't even buy into that. But okay, don't follow that Rambam. And then the next one, Mutter Ger Toshav. Well, guess what? The Rambam didn't say that exists either. But so we're building on, we're hoping for hope that the Rambam is not accepted on both of these statements. We're hoping for hope that Tais is right and the Ravid is right. We make a choice between Tais and the Ravid, then we're home free. I've seen better tasting cholos than that, okay? So taste it and arrive it. That's what we're hanging on to for dear life. Okay, says the Chazmish. Okay, we're going to go. We go down that route. Arrive it, because that arrive it, the smuggler, the shasach ha-godl, to look to arrive it. Says the Chazmish, who's the gear toshiv according to the arrive it? Any non-Jew who's not worshipping idols? No, that is not a gear toshiv. Zok the Chazmish. A Ger Toshev, even the Ravid's watered down version of Ger Toshev is Manazah, it has to be that he's makabel upon himself to be a Ger Toshev. But Torah is Ger Toshev. What does a Ger Toshev mean? Ger Toshev means I'm observing the Zion mitzvahs as were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. I believe, even though you may not be able to formulate those words, Moshe Rabbeinu, I believe in Mount Sinai. I believe in Moses at Mount Sinai. If the reason why observing the Shav Mitzvahs is because I believe in the universal code of humanity and ethics and morality or something like that, or I believe that it was somehow part of a tradition of civilization of mankind, whatever other pizman and story you give me, says the Chazanish, that doesn't count. It's worthless. That's not a Ger Toshev. Why is it not a Ger Toshev? Says the Chazanish, it's very simple. It's very simple. Why is it that the Torah is minimizing some of these Yisurim for a Ger Toshev, and the Torah is coming down very hard on Ovid Avodah Zarah? Ovid Avodah Zarah, you can't give him a gift, and you can't say nice things about it, and you can't give him a Chalev HaKai, all those things. And a Ger Toshev, come on, put your arm around you, everything's great. Well, why is that? He's also a guy. He can't, doesn't count for a minion. He can't pull shofar Jewish, can't be the Bakari. He's not Jewish, can't marry his daughter. So what is the difference? Why conceptually does the Torah say that all of these almost harchokas are only limited to the Avdei Avodah Zarah, don't really apply to the Ger Toshev? Why is that? It's one pasuk chumash. It's all one pasuk. It's in the context of Lo Yeshu Bi'Artzecha. What does it say? Lo Yeshu Bi'Artzecha Pen Yachtiu Oschali. Because he's going to have a bad influence on you. If you start giving him apartments in Eretz Yisrael, you start giving him gifts, you start saying how great and wonderful and proud you are, that's going to create a certain friendship, certain bonds, and the next thing you know is Pen Yachtiu Oschali. That's it. That's exactly what the Torah. All of these Yisurim, these are not just the chukim. These are very much mishpatim. They make very, very good sense. They're all instituted midaraisa. They're almost like all like the bishalach of Yisurim later midaraban. They're all instituted to create that fence, to create those barriers, because the guy is so far krumped. His hashkofa zachaim is so far. Even as an idol worshiper, he's so krumped. The fact that he's not kaddish b'kedushas Yisrael, don't even quote about that. If he really truly has wonderful hashkaf, he wasn't born Jewish, and he's not interested in being a Ger Tzedek, okay, we can be friendly with him, we can give him gifts, we'll give him an apartment to live in, we'll say how a great ball player he is. We have no problem in any of those things. We have no qualms about that. We're very friendly people. But the minute there's a chashash pei nechtiv aschali, he's going to be machti with his fakrumta nachshavis, that's where the fences go up. That's there are two different types of fakrumta hashkofas in the world. There's avodah zara, that's about as krum as you get. And then there's another krum hashkofa. What's the other krum hashkofa? Look in the Rambam, look at avodah zara. The Rambam writes that the Torah gives us a lot of harchokas about avodah zara. The Torah says you can't look at idols, and you can't read books about a sifri avodah zara, and you can't study how to worship idols. You can't do any of all these surim deraisa. You can't do any of these things. You can't. Why? The Rambam explains, because avodah zara is so krum, is so antithetical to Torah, so the Rambam, that kachi dako sheyetzahara. That's where a person's mind plays tricks on him. That the minute you start to give some credibility to something, you say, avodah zara, let me study. I'll take this course about avodah zara. Me, I sit and learn 3 stars a day, 2.5, whatever. But in between, I take my avodah zara class. A guy studying avodah zara, it's not going to affect me. So you think, says the rabbi. There are great people before you thought that also. Slowly but surely, it's not so bad. If it's not so bad, there's a certain heritage that we share together. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we can sing together. Maybe we can dance together. We can have certain services together. We see it in front of our eyes. It always happens that way. Slowly but surely break down the certain barriers. So the Rambam, after he finishes describing the Isurim of looking at Avodah Zarah, studying Avodah Zarah, etc., and the Rambam says all of these dinim apply to another type of Krum Hashkafa. What's that? Kvar says, what does Levavchem refer to? Zominus, Satikursus, Kfira. Machshav is philosophical looks in the world that are antithetical to Torah. So the Rambam says the same story. You have a Rambam here in there? You have Rambam's Avodah Zarah here? So the Rambam, at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, basically Avodah Zarah, so the Rambam describes, Kachi Dakar Shal Yates as well. What happens? A person starts to study a little bit and read a little bit the works of people who are kofar b'Hashem, people who are kofar b'Torah Moshe, people who are kofar in Yimosu b'Shech T'Sameh, well, Hashkofar, kofar in Schaifa Oynish, kofar in Mechira Chofsh, whatever the different kfiras are. And the Rambam says, first you read it, it's intellectual, it's interesting, you know, it doesn't really speak to you. But I'm a mamet Torah Moshe. And you're like, what is it? Maybe a guy's got a point. Maybe there is some truth to that Bible critic. Maybe that theory is better. Maybe there's a shtickle Torah that maybe it's also part of Emissara. Maybe we'll dig up a Rishon, we'll make up a Rishon who may have said it. Maybe we'll create Rishon. If we can't find them, we'll create them. And then this pasuk wasn't really part of the Torah, and that parsha wasn't part of the Torah, and this Tarsha Rapha wasn't really true, and this one's developed here, and this one's from Elbiyam, and this one's from the Essenes, and this one's from the Middle Ages, and this one. Before you know it, we know what we have before you know it. So the Rambam writes, this Mahalach of Los Asurach and Vavchem, of Altifnu Alilim, the Rambam writes, the favor of Avodah Zarah, this applies only to Minus, to Apikorsus, to Kfira, as to Avodah Zarah. It's the same game, it's the same intellectual game, says the Rambam. Now let's take a look. Perek Beis of Avodah Zarah. It's the same game, the same Yisurim, because that's the way the Baruch Shem created our mind in such a way. So you have to nip the problem in the bud. So that's exactly what the Chazon Ish says here as well. The Chazon Ish says, Penyachilos Chali means that the Torah doesn't want you to have a relationship of Chanei Bekaif, of Matnesechina, Masaf Mishvacha, all the nice, you know, friendly, lovey-dovey, arm-around relationship with people who are going to be cause you to be Chotek. It doesn't mean we make Chil Hashems in this world, and it doesn't mean, of course, there's Dakesh Shalom, we have to be cordial, we have to be polite, we have to, you know, that's all true, 100%, and we never, ever, ever should forget that. On the other hand, that doesn't translate to mean that we're best of friends. It means we're citizens of the world, citizens of the country that we live in, we have to act in an appropriate Kiddush Hashem manner, 100%, but there is a line of demarcation between us. So the Chazon Ish says, how do you know which people in the world that line of demarcation must be drawn and which not? And this is very posh. It says the Chazon Ish. I don't know if everybody quotes the Rambam famous, but Rambam is just verbatim what the Rambam is saying in Chosef Adazara. That if you have somebody who, a non-Jew, who comes forward and says, listen, I'm going to be a good person because I really believe in Torah Moshe. I don't want to be Jewish. Okay, not every guy, I'm Jewish. It's fine. He doesn't have to become Jewish. If the Moshe wanted to be Jewish, it would have made him Jewish. So he doesn't want to be again. It's fine. There's no problem with that. But Kol Zman that he's online and thinking, he has good machshavas, he has good hashkafas. Hashkafas are kosher. He happens not to be Jewish. Hashkafas are kosher. So that's okay. Then we can give him land in Eretz Yisrael, we can give him land in Eretz Yisrael, that's fine. The minute that he starts telling you Bubamite so that he doesn't really believe in Rosh, he doesn't really believe in Meshach, he doesn't believe in Torah, he believes in some, you know, Western something or other, you know, socio, whatever you want to call it. So that's Krum. You can hang out with him, he'll convince you that Krum Hashkafa. So that you'll become someone who's an Apikaris. The Chazon Ish said that it's not enough just to find someone who observes the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, even according to the Ravid. You have to find someone who observes the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach for the right reasons.
So this Machlokes Rishonim over which monotheistic religions, if we consider them to be Avodah Zarah or not, would that be the same, depending on which side of Machlokes you fall on, would that be the same here for determining if they could be a Ger Toshav?
I'm not so sure about that. I said that's a very, very technical machlokes. How to read the Tosfos? About whether vis-a-vis goyim, whether the standards of Avodah Zarah are a little bit different than vis-a-vis Jews. But kule alma pligi, that if a Jew would subscribe to some of the religions that you're referring to, so that would be outright of Avodah Zarah. That would be out of the question of Avodah Zarah.
I mean, meaning like a person, he's keeping the Shemesh Beinoach because he believes that there is a God. But then...
Does he believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And did anything major happen between then and now?
But then things major did happen between then and now.
I don't know what those major things were, so that's very problematic. That's a very serious problem that may have happened.
But he's still doing Shemesh Beinoach because he wants to serve Hashem. He wants to serve a God.
That's Minas, Tefira, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I don't think that's gonna fly for the Chazon Ish. I don't think Bnei Brach are gonna like that. I don't think so. Okay. So the question is, do we have such a person? I mean, we're really, really pulling, we're really spitting the ball in the barrel. We're trying to find it. We're not even sure we have the Heter. We're not even sure we have a Get Tosh. Now, even if we do, we're not even sure we can find one B'zman Hazeh. So traditionally in Eretz Yisrael, the ones that have been used over the last 150 years or so, they try to find a nice person who keeps the Shemitah Bnei Noach and hope for the best. So there was a suggestion that was made that, well, maybe we can come up with a better strategy than that. Maybe we can really find someone who meets the Chazon Ish's Ravids, in a sense, whatever you want to call watered down version, but at least someone who really at least meets the Chazon Ish's standards of what a Get Tosh are. So some of those people do exist in the world. Who are they? What do we call them in America? Noahites. In South Carolina, a bunch of them, right? They do exist. So two Shemitahs ago, so I suggested to, I was talking to one of the rabbis that was involved a little bit in the Mechira, so I suggested to him that, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea that instead of using some of the traditional, non-Jews they've been using for the past 150 years or so, maybe they should go elsewhere, invest in a ticket to get someone out of South Carolina, go find someone who's a Noahite. So go find someone who's Mamish Kib Shemitz Noach, Nasuch Adin. He's Mach Melechatchil and all the Shemitz Noach with the right Kavanas. I thought that would be at least a little bit of a ticket, a Mashim ticket, at least a Chazon Ish, something, a Chazon Ish Ravid, something. So I heard that, someone told me that this Peah Shemitah they actually did use. I don't think they pulled out someone from America. I think they used somebody else who was actually someone who met this criteria. So whether that was based on my suggestion, I can't tell you. I probably was not the only person in the last 150 years to come up with that idea. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the last Shemitah they did actually, they upped it a little bit and they used somebody who was at least a little bit of a better Get Tosh. So it's a hard thing to say. It's Chazon Ish's but this is the Chazon Ish's insistence within the Ravid's version of what a Get Tosh is. According to those who share the Get Tosh is going to even make any difference over here. So in case you're not yet convinced that we're holding on for a deal with the Mechira, so hopefully tomorrow we'll try to come up with some more interesting reasons why we have four again. So again, just I'm being as honest, intellectually honest as possible. Hopefully that's tomorrow. Then we'll have Mechira. It's late. What time is it tomorrow? What do we say? Tomorrow's